Welcome back in. Road Rage, Facts and Childress filling in for Walt Deptula today. Last hour of the program. These 3 hours have flown by. We've hit a lot of topics, talked some MLB, talked some NBA. We've actually done a lot of NBA talk today with all the playoff stuff going on. And then we were talking about some contracts in hour one. What is the worst contract your team has ever given out was the question posed. And we went over a lot of names down memory lane, including some scarring ones for me as a Braves fan, and BJ Upton and Dan Uggla. I would have been okay with just completely blacking that section of my memory out from a Braves perspective. But if you guys want to check out the podcast from today for any of the hours of the program, if you have missed it, theroarfm.com. Go check out the podcast. I want to tell you about Nick Lavery, Clemson's local attorney who will help you get what you deserve. Do you need someone who knows the law that is on your side? It would be Nick Lavery. His office is conveniently located downtown Clemson at 115 Strode Circle. He's been serving Clemson and upstate community for more than 20 years. His areas of practice include workers' comp, DUI, boat, car, motorcycle accident, wrongful death, and residential real estate closings and home refinancing. So pretty much any of your needs from a legal aspect, Nick Lavery, Clemson's local attorney, is your guy. He will help you get what you deserve. May is Military Appreciation Month. As a small token of appreciation, Nick Lavery's law office is offering 10% off all closing costs for veterans and active duty military. If you guys want to schedule your free consultation today, 864-654-3680. That is 864-654-3680. Or visit online at nicklaverylaw.com. That is nicklaverylaw.com. Nick Lavery, Clemson's local attorney who will help you get what you deserve. Final hour of the program now here on Road Rage. It's been a fun one. We get a text in about Juan Soto. He said Juan Soto is a terrible contract. He hasn't been great this year for his standards, but he still has been productive the last couple weeks. I'll let the chips fall on that. But I will say, the Acuna-Soto debate is one that's been hot for a while. I was always Team Acuna, obviously, as a Braves fan. I'll admit my bias where it's there. But the root of that argument for me was always that Acuna can do everything while Soto's pretty much a glorified DH at 24, because that's the reality of the situation. I mean, Soto's not great in the field. He doesn't run the bases particularly well. He doesn't have a great arm. And he's a really good hitter. Most of the time, he can hit for power. He can hit for contact. But Acuna, man, up near the top of the league in stolen bases this year. He's killing the ball with power. He's got great contact. He leads the league in WAR right now, and he's obviously fast as daylight's in the field. And, you know, as a fielder, he hasn't been great this year for his standards via the metrics, but he does have a great arm that is still elite. I wanted to talk about one more thing in the MLB. If anyone wants to get on this, in on this at 654 Roar. Ramona, have you seen what's going on with the Oakland Athletics and how they're moving to Las Vegas, apparently?
No, I haven't seen that.
So today, the Oakland Athletics have like finalized, I guess, their site in Las Vegas. I just think this is a terrible decision. The ownership in Oakland needs to be investigated for one of the worst, if not the worst, in the history of pro sports. The A's have reached an agreement with Bally and Garning Leisure Properties to build a potential stadium on the Tropicana Hotel site along the Las Vegas Strip. It's going to be a 30,000-seat stadium on the 35-acre site. The project is expected to cost $1.5 billion. The A's are asking for $400 million in public support from the Nevada legislature, which could vote on a proposal as soon as this week. They previously signed an agreement to build a stadium on Tropicana Avenue. That's on the other side of Interstate 15 that runs alongside the Strip in Las Vegas. And they were expected to ask the legislature for $500 million for that 49-acre site. But they would have built like this lifestyle, you know, kind of how the Braves have the Battery now in Cobb County, where there's a bunch of restaurants and there's a bunch of stuff to do.
Yeah.
The A's pretty much wanted to expand that and like make it like an amusement type thing as well. And that got shot down immediately. the people in Nevada are not happy that their taxpayer money could potentially be going to this new stadium. And then obviously the people of Oakland are upset that their team could get stripped away. So I just thought that that was an interesting point line that I hadn't heard anybody hit yet. And it's always weird when you see a team relocate. Like, I'll never forget when I remember I was a young child at this point, but I remember the Seattle Supersonics moving to OKC. I've always thought that's just such a weird thing to relocate a sports team. Like, none of my favorite teams have ever
been
relocated when I've been
alive.
Your
fans are kind of left with nothing.
Yeah, like, the fans of Seattle have been begging for basketball back since the Sonics relocated, and all it really takes is one owner wanting to relocate the team. Like, there's speculation that this new owner for the Commanders, previously the football team and Redskins, now the Commanders, could consider relocating the team from Washington, D.C., which I don't think would be a good decision, but that has been something that's been in the talk. So I just thought that was interesting. I wanted to hit that point because you got a feel for the city of Oakland, who got the Warriors taken away from them when they moved to San Francisco. Also got the Raiders taken away from them when they moved to Las Vegas. And now might potentially get the A's taken away to also move to Las Vegas. So Las Vegas is just raiding Oakland for their sports teams. And I just thought that that was something that was really interesting that I wanted to get to before the end of the program. And yeah, so moving on. Wanted to talk some more Clemson baseball because there's a lot of hypotheticals that that we can go through. But first, we're going to go to our phone lines at 654-ROAR, and we're going to go to Lynn in Greenville. Lynn, what's going on, man?
Hey, good to talk to you. Usually talk to Walt, so I'm glad to talk to you as well. I just wanted to run something by regarding Clemson basketball. So it looks like the excuses are already starting to be built in because I noticed today that P.J. Hall has done really good in the pre-NBA camp tryouts, and he's going to get invited, I guess, to, I don't know if it's a combine or
whatever
they call it for the NBA.
Yeah, it's the combine.
Well, here's the deal. If P.J. Hall, I know Walt's really high on Brad Brownell and Clemson basketball, and I'm not against them. I think he's an honest guy and whatever. But I'm of the opinion that he's got to make the NCAA tournament. And what I've seen next year, and what I've seen is they have went out and they've recruited all these players to complement him. And Brad Brownell probably should do one of two things. I know it's kind of hard to do. You need to get a commitment from him. Are you coming back or not? You should have done that a long time ago. I need an answer. Because now what's going to happen is if P.J. Hall leaves, there's no one to replace him. This Clemson team is going to be much worse off next year without him. So I think that's an error by Brad Brownell. I don't want to hear the excuse next year that P.J. Hall left, because you've got to just say, look, you're either going to come back or not. I need to know, because if you need to tell me now, like about a month ago. You know, because you see where I'm getting at here? Because without him, this Clemson team is going to be a very average team next year.
No, yeah, I mean, I think you make some fair points, Len, and, you know, as far as P.J. is the best player on the team, they're going to need P.J. to make the NCAA tournament next year, and I agree with that point, but he did declare for the draft while maintaining his eligibility, and he also stated that he will not enter the transfer portal, and if he doesn't go to the draft, he will be back at Clemson. So I think all of the signs are pointing for P.J. Hall to come back. Yes, I'm aware that he is going to go to the NBA Combine now that he got called up from the G League Elite Camp. So did Hunter Tyson, former Clemson Tiger, but he's out of his eligibility. He had his fifth year last year. P.J. Hall still has eligibility with his senior campaign and can't come back. But if you remember, there have been a lot of Clemson players that have done this, which is, and even a lot of them that have had impressive showings at the Combine, or, you know, what they used to call the G League when it was the D League. Jerron Blossom game tested the waters. Marquise Reed tested the waters. Shelton Mitchell tested the waters. And all of those guys ended up coming back. And I understand that P.J. is a different caliber player than all those, though. Blossom game was an active player for the Tigers for a few years. I still think that P.J. is going to end up coming back. I'm not. I don't have no insight on whether he actually is coming back or not, but I don't think that there's any reason for him to be alarmed. I mean, we know that P.J. Hall is a great player, but at the end of the day, I don't think he's going to play himself into getting drafted by having a good G League Elite Combine, and then even if he does have a good NBA Draft Combine, the best thing for P.J. Hall's draft and NBA hopes would be to come back to Clemson and average 20 points per game, which I think he's got a great chance to do next year if the Tigers bring him back. I mean, the way that the roster's been constructed, I think you're looking at an NCAA tournament team with P.J. Hall. You get Joe Girard, which was huge out of the portal. You have Chase Hunter coming back. Could arguably be the best backcourt in the ACC. You get Jack Clark from NC State. You bring in another couple splashy transfers that have a chance to make an impact. And then your freshman class from last year, which I'm really high on, Chauncey Wiggins might go to the NBA one day. I'm telling you guys right now, I'm higher on him than anybody else on the roster. You don't get 6'10 elite shooters. Those guys don't grow on trees, especially with Chauncey Wiggins' wingspan. R.J. Godfrey proved that he could be a player at this level. He's an elite athlete who can defend and rebound. If PJ Hall comes back, I think there's a lot to be excited about this team next year. But Lynn, I do understand your perspective on the frustrations with PJ testing the waters. I mean, it is kind of in a no man's land right now, and the team has been constructed around him. So I think you make a couple fair points.
Well, last thing, I just think, I don't blame him. If he can go, he can go. I'm not sure he's going to be a superstar in the NBA, but you never know. I think he's very solid. I just think that Brad Brunell, you can't put all your eggs in the P.J. Hall basket. If he leaves, you better have some players ready to play and make the NCAA tournament, because if he comes back or if he doesn't come back, I think Brad Brunell's got to make the tournament next year. I think he's got to. The last thing I'll say is, because I know you were talking about NBA, please don't let the Lakers win the NBA title. This has got to be the weakest time, and I'm from the 80s. I still think Bird's the GOAT in his prime, but I've never seen a league so weak, so many players missing games and load management, getting hurt, just spoiled brats. And they're athletic, but they don't know how to play the game. If the Lakers win this year, it's got to be the most unimpressive championship that I've ever seen. They're not even that good of a team. They're not even making the playoffs probably in the 80s. I mean, I don't know what your thoughts are on that, but I'll hang up and listen. But please don't let them win. That's all I got to say.
I appreciate your call, Lynn. Listen, I can't act like I'm not right there with Lynn rooting against the Lakers. The Lakers are the worst, man. I've always hated the Lakers, even though I loved Kobe. But now with LeBron and AD, they're just wildly unlikable, Ramona. They are wildly unlikable. And the Lakers fan base is like this toxic cesspool on Twitter that just goes at people. Like, I just like go in the comments and I observe. I don't really like tweet that much or like anything. Facts on Sports, by the way, on Twitter, if you guys want to follow. I don't really tweet that much, especially not about, like, I tweet about Clemson a lot, but outside of that, I never really give my opinion. But like, I'll lurk there sometimes, and like, especially with the NBA stuff, Lakers fans are so toxic. It's like you had the pre-existing fan base of the Lakers, which was already toxic, and then you added LeBron, who was bringing his toxic minions into that fan base as well. And that just has created this ultimate cesspool of mega toxic fans who go at everyone and cross line. It's not a pleasant experience. I'm with Len. Public decree that I'm now a Nikola Jokic super fan for the rest of this series. Please go win. The Denver Nuggets and Nikola Jokic, we need to win. I'm a Nuggets fan for the series. Jokic, get it done. We're going to break. When we come back, I'm going to talk a little bit more about Clemson basketball and that P.J. Hall point, because I do think that the team is shaping up to be really, really good next year if P.J. Hall ends up coming back. This is Facts and Children's filling in for Walt Deptula on Road Rage.
It's not too late for that deep spring cleaning for your home. Give my friends at Zero Res Carpet and Air Duct Cleaning a call. Right now, mention me, Mickey Plowler, and The Roar, and you'll get 3 rooms of carpet cleaned for only $129. Book online at ZeroResGreenville.com.
What if there was a paint that made you look at paint differently? One that completely rewrote paint's genetic code so it can strengthen any color? What if it's built with better ingredients? Even given superpowers? Since Benjamin Moore reinvented the way paint is made, it makes you wonder, is it still paint? Benjamin Moore. Paint like no other.
The Carter Color Company, 1067 Tiger Boulevard, Clemson. Your independent local Benjamin Moore paint retailer.
Since 1917, Harbin Lumber Company has been a top lumber and building supplier in the industry. Their number one asset is their employees, people who are dedicated to providing quality building products and contractor services. People just like you, working to grow and be a part of the community. From construction projects to large remodeling jobs, see the hardworking folks people have entrusted for nearly 100 years. Harbin Lumber Company, serving South Carolina, Georgia, and North Carolina, and online at harbinlumber.com.
Hello, Medicare and Medicaid recipients. Gary Mahaffey here with Insurance for Seniors and Disabled. You probably have been informed that you will be checked this year to make sure that you still qualify for Medicaid. This rechecking process was put on hold for 2 years during the COVID pandemic, but they are starting it up again. When you receive your questionnaire and have questions, I am here to help you. The first advice I can give you is do not put this off. This is the worst thing that you can do. If something is unclear to you on the questionnaire, please give me a call at 864-307-8484. Again, 864-307-8484. In the event that you should lose Medicaid, there will be a special election period available to you to change plans. And please remember that my services always come free to you. And in the unlikely event that I do not represent a company or specific plan that you are interested in, I will shepherd your way through Medicare.
Don't miss out on this week's specials at Buff City Soap. With products for everyone, corporate gifts, pet products, laundry soap, seasonal scents, and more. Follow Buff City Soap Clemson and Buff City Soap Greenville on Facebook and Instagram for the latest sales and updates.
Do, 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 do. Hey, what you gonna do when you gotta pee? You're gonna call Royal Flush at 238-8800. We've got your porta potties. We've got your event trailers, too.
Call Royal Flush at 864-238-8800 or visit them online at royalflushtoiletrental.com.
We'll even pump your septic tank for you. Call Royal Flush because we're the king and queen of clean. So what have you got to do? Call Royal Flush.
I'm here again with Morgan Coleman of Joan Herlong & Associates, Sotheby's International Realty, addressing such a frequently asked question I know you get all the time. I'm seeing my home value continue to rise in this ever-growing market, so tell me, when's the best time to sell?
Selling your home is entirely up to your timeline. However, busy spring market is from around March to June, and that is a great time to sell if you are wanting to move into your next home at the start of summer. Summer can be a good time if you're looking to get in your home before the start of the school year in August. The busy fall market picks up around Labor Day and runs to the middle of November. It's never too early to start the conversations and prepare your home to sell, even if you aren't going to sell for another 6+ months.
Well, there you have it. If you've been on the fence about considering selling, it doesn't hurt to start the conversation now. Reach out to Morgan Coleman at 864-313-7639.
Get the edge at Tri-County in the top 1% nationwide for successful transfers. The best place to start your 4-year college experience is right here in your own backyard at Tri-County Technical College. Tri-County ranks in the top 10% nationally for successful transfers. Learn more at tctc.edu/transfer. Tri-County Technical College offers you the opportunity to gain the skills employers are looking for in today's workforce. Get the edge today at tctc.edu/transfer.
Trucks cost less than travelers rest, and our friends at George Coleman Ford have brand new F-150s in stock awaiting you. It's been quite a while since I could say that, so act now and take advantage. And the 23 model F-150 has interest rate specials as low as 0% for 36 months through Ford Motor Credit. Good through April 3rd with approved credit, over 90 years doing business right, spanning 4 generations. George Coleman Ford, the very best right there in travelers rest.
Powered by Upcountry Fiber, we are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Providing fiber internet, HDTV, and phone service, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
The undisputed sports talk leader for the upstate.
Let's go now, you fired him!
We are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar, where every day is game day.
I want it on the record that Ramona has been sneak dissing me at every single off the air break this entire show. Oh, every break I've been getting shots at me left and right.
No, you're the one that gave me your information.
No,
you just go with this.
There's shots coming my way here in the Upcountry Fiber Studio in Easley. Facts and Children's filling in for Walt Deptula at Road Rage. Let me tell you about our friends at Gilstrap Roofing. Gilstrap Roofing has been covering the Upstate for 4 generations. They're the most experienced. They have the best ratings and reviews. They're Upstate's go-to for quality roofs, storm damage, roof replacement, or roof repair. They do all of it. They work with an experienced team of roofers who specialize in shingle roofs, metal roofs, and flat roofs for residential, commercial, and industrial customers. Their dedication to complete customer satisfaction is the reason why a large portion of our business comes from previous and customers and referrals. If you are looking for a full-time roofing contractor that has extensive experience, fully licensed, bonded, and insured, look no further than Gilstrap Roofing. They have been serving the upstate and Midlands, South Carolina since 1935. A-plus rating with the BBB, fully licensed, bonded, and insured. As I said, call 864-269-1232 or online at gilstrapproofing.com. That is 864-269-1232 or online at gilstrapproofing.com. Facts and Childress here, filling in for Walt Deptula on Road Rage. We've got about 30 minutes left in the program, which has flown by on this Monday. Talked a little bit earlier in the program about how Monday programs kind of go by quick because there's so much that's happened over the weekend. There's so much that you have to get to on a Monday show because you want to hit every single point, but you don't have a ton of time.
True.
Yeah, so I would say we've done a decent job of managing trying to hit everything today. I did want to go a little bit further into Clemson baseball. We talked to Don Munson about Clemson baseball.
You did get a little freaked out about that hug thing.
About what? Oh, yeah, I did. Because Draymond has no business hugging LeBron after he just lost a series. He's smiling and chatting it up with them. Like, man, I don't know. I'd say pick up games that I play with my friends more serious than it felt like Draymond was taking that with LeBron. Like, we'll be heated at each other after those games, Ramona. Like, there's some tension. And then, like, you lose the series that could potentially be the end of your dynasty, and you're going up and you're hugging LeBron and you're smiling.
LeBron, of all people.
I don't hate LeBron, but I understand why people do. Are you a LeBron hater?
He gets on my nerves.
He gets on your nerves?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's fair enough, I guess. As far as Clemson baseball goes, if you guys want to go to the roarfm.com, look back at our podcasts. In hour number three, we talked with Don Munson about Clemson baseball. He was up on all three games in Blacksburg this weekend with the sweep of Virginia Tech. And we were running through a bunch of numbers, and what Coach Bakich and the club is doing right now is just unbelievable. 18 of 21 games, 15 of 17 ACC games, 8 straight wins, 2 straight ACC sweeps. There's no other way to describe it than they're on fire. And we also gave away 8 tickets to the game tomorrow in Doug Kingsmore Stadium, midweek game against USC Upstate. It'll be interesting to see how they manage the pitching staff. And Texter 940 gets in and says Draymond might be playing with LeBron next year. You know what, Texter 940? It looked like he wanted to play with LeBron right then and there. And the way Draymond shot the ball over the course of the series, he might as well have been playing for the Lakers in the series. He might as well have been playing for the... You know what? Let's get the numbers. Because Draymond Green has no business acting like this after... This is what made me more mad than anything else, Ramona. That was the low point of my weekend. It wasn't even the loss. Because you know what? Losses happen in life. It's about how you respond to losses. I can get over a loss. But Draymond Green, this guy right here, all right? He averaged... Are you ready? Are you ready for Draymond's averages that he thought was good enough to be hugging LeBron after the game? 7 rebounds per game, 9 points per game. So he averaged 9 and 7 over the course of the series. He shot the 3-ball at a 22% clip. You averaged 9 and 7 and shot 22% from 3 and 49% from the field as a power forward, and we want to go hug LeBron after the series? That was sickening to me. Sorry, I had to bring that back up. Let's get back on track with Clemson baseball. So USC Upstate on Tuesday, North Carolina this weekend starting on Thursday. We talked with Don, and one of the things that I wanted to hit again and thought was interesting, how is Clemson going to manage the rotation headed into the weekend against UNC with the ACC tournament looming? We don't know where Clemson's going to be seated yet in the ACC or when they are going to have to play in the ACC tournament. The ACC standings are currently like sardines up near the top outside of Wake Forest. There's a lot of really good baseball teams in the ACC. The ACC and the SEC continue to dominate this sport of college baseball. For some reference, Clemson 17-10 in the league, which is second in the Atlantic and second in the conference. Wake Forest at 20-6 is number one in both. Here's the Coastal: 16-11 Virginia, 16-11 Miami, 15-11 Duke, 14-11 North Carolina. So there's 4 teams that could conceivably win their series this weekend and ascend super high up the ACC standings. So Clemson doesn't have anything locked in, and like Don and Coach Bakich continue to say, you haven't won anything yet. So Clemson needs to win this series against North Carolina. And if Clemson sweeps the series against North Carolina, they would be 20-10 in the conference, and they would lock up the two seeds. So Clemson controls their own destiny headed into this weekend. And that's an exciting time, you know, for Clemson fans. You control your own destiny headed into the weekend. If Clemson sweeps, they will be the number two seed in the ACC. That is locked in and that is confirmed. Man, that's exciting. If you would have told me a year ago today Clemson baseball would control their own destiny to get the number two seed in the ACC, I would just be so excited based off of how last year went. We're going to go to Ed. Ed, what's going on, man?
Jackson.
What's going on, Ed?
I've listened to your take on competitiveness and with Draymond Green and all. I'm going to tell you, all of that died at the end of the baby boomer generation and the beginning of Generation X, because we all wanted to win at all costs. I mean, I even played intramural ball at the Y in my late 30s and would get flown out of games. I mean, you want to win.
Oh, yeah.
And this it's a business now and all. That was never the thing. The NFL, when I was a kid, they had real jobs in the regular, you know, in all season because they didn't get paid that much. You want to talk about what the Raiders and Steelers said to each other after every game? I mean, you don't want to hear it. It'd be rated R for rough. And that's, you know, it's changed. It all started when we all started getting participation trophies. And, you know, it's just gotten steadily worse in this coddling wimp nation we're in now. But anyhow, I digress. Just thought I'd address that for you. I'll tell you a trade I was starting to think may have been one of the worst, or not a trade, a contract. I was thinking Arenado might be bad until this weekend when he went 7 out of 14 with 3 homers. But it was starting to look bleak in that regard. And the Cardinals usually don't take on bad contracts, so hopefully he'll turn that around today. We've won 5 out of 6, so I'm hoping for the best. And I can see Clemson baseball having a good weekend and ending up with a national seed in the NCAA tournament. So, get your thoughts on that. I'll see you later.
Yeah, I think you make a couple good points, Ed, over the course of that. I agree with the Draymond. So, hey, man, like, full transparency. For those who don't, I play on the women's basketball like practice squad, which is like scout team, and we do like scrimmages like to help them get better, help in practice, like pretty much, I don't want to say practice dummies, but we help them. I have gotten a tee in a scrimmage before. I've gotten teed up. Kwok has told the story before too. He was there. So that competitive fire from the previous generation has been passed on to me. When I get, I would like to think I'm pretty laid back most of the time, but if you get me in a competitive setting, I'm playing to kill. Like I'm going for the kill and I'm going for the win. And I'm cocky on the court too, Ramona. Like I'm fully aware that I'm a poor sport. This is a flaw that I have. I'm a poor sport. I want to win way too bad, and I will go to any length it takes to win. Those are the flaws that I have when it comes to actually me competing in sports. So I'm in Ed's agreement there. I don't know what generation I even am, to be honest with you. I don't really pay attention to that, but I will go to any length to win. I am 100% one of those competitive people, which is why that bugged me so much about Draymond giving the hug. But we got to move on from this, because hopefully Draymond's off the team next year. I never have to deal with that again, as people are actively trying to throw away Steph Curry's legacy, like Jordan Poole, who just sucks at basketball all of a sudden after being good last year, which also makes no sense. Texter gets in, what is the last time Clemson hosted a regional as a top 8 seed? I honestly don't even know, but I'll do some research on that and get back to you. And at the same time, that's exactly the topic I wanted to go into, because that's what Ed said. He was talking about Clemson's got a chance to be a national seed, which is top 8. Rankings today, Clemson 6-1 ranking, 7 in a couple of the other rankings. Looks like it's falling in line to potentially be a national seed to host, and that would be huge. There is no doubt in my mind that that would be huge, and I actually think that that's possible, if you want me to be honest. I think that that is a realistic scenario that we have to start thinking about when it comes to this Clemson baseball team, and they've earned it, and they continue to win, and obviously, like Don said earlier, they're going to lose at some point. They're going to lose again. This isn't one of these, they're never going to lose again, but you got to acknowledge what they're doing right now. They're playing the best baseball in the country. And, you know, when it comes to being a national seed, that's something that can make or break your postseason. It's something that could legitimately make or break your postseason. And I can't really stress the importance of that enough. And when it comes to this Clemson baseball team, they've been fantastic in all aspects this season. But, and Don mentioned how they've been good on the road, but everybody loves playing at home. Obviously, you always want to play at home. That's the main goal, is you play at home for as long as you can play at home. Doug Kingsmore Stadium, Clemson's been excellent at home this year as well. And, you know, you got to think at this point, if Clemson handles business this weekend, they're in line to host a regional. But as far as Ed and a couple of the texters on the text line now that have gotten in have said, it's hard to think that they couldn't be a national seed. And I know that that's setting expectations high, and I know especially where the season started to where we are now, that's a drastic jump. But is it unrealistic to think that they could be a national seed, Ramona?
No.
I mean,
they're doing really good.
They're number seven in the polls right now that matter, and you got to be a top eight seed to be a national seed and a host. So I don't know, man.
That would be cool.
Yeah, it would be cool. Texter gets in and says, while I agree Draymond was hugged up with LeBron after the series is over, but Draymond is the most competitive guy within our game in the entire NBA. I'm having trouble naming guys more competitive than Dre. AMAC gets in and says that. You know what? That's a good point. And maybe I am hating on Draymond a little too much, but I feel like, and maybe there is, there's a major distinction now in the NBA between on the court and off the court. And like back in the day, people used to hate each other. Even when I was growing up, people used to hate each other. Like Kobe Bryant hated people. Like, they were going out there with an actual rivalry. And Draymond, I've never questioned Draymond's effort on the court. And he's obviously a competitor. And, you know, he makes a fool of himself. And, you know, like, he gets teed up all the time and, you know, all that. And he's got that fire to him on the court. But it's like, I want to see that fire off the court, too. I feel like sports in general have just kind of shied away from that. Like, this is like more of a general thing, maybe not just even in the NBA. We don't really have rivalries anymore. Collegiate athletics have rivalries, but like professional
doesn't.
Like the MLB still has rivalries because people will throw at people, which I'm not encouraging by any means. But at the same time, like, you know, if somebody throws at your player, you throw back. That's what I want to see. When Acuña gets thrown at, I'm immediately like, all right, throw back at him. That's my initial gut reaction when Acuña gets thrown at by the Marlins for the 100 millionth time in his career, because the Marlins always throw at him. But as far as the NBA goes, like, there's no rivalries in the NBA. Nobody hates each other. Like, Steph and LeBron should hate each other. I mean, they've played in four finals against each other, and Steph's 3-1 in the finals against LeBron. And they now played this series. Like, they played each other in the playoffs five times in the last 10 years. Like, you should have, like, and they're, like, cool. I don't like that. I want to bring rivalries back within professional sports. I want the Eagles and the Chiefs to form a rivalry. I didn't like seeing Jalen Hurts be at all buddy-buddy with all the Chiefs after the game. Like, and Jalen's the peak competitor. I know he wanted it more than anyone else, but, like, I'm not condoning poor sportsmanship, but on the same tangent, like, I want to see some passion. I don't want the series to be over like Draymond Green, and then, you know, you're just immediately going over and hugging LeBron because you want to play on the Lakers. And a texter got in also and said,
yeah,
NBA
yeah.
players are so friendly amongst each other because the players are the true GMs and they are actively recruiting at all times, is what another texter said. I think that that's true.
Well, LeBron certainly doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, LeBron definitely recruits. I think most of the superstars in the league are definitely constantly recruiting, trying to be like, hey, come over here and hop in free agency. And LeBron started all that when he went to the Heat, when he made the decision back in 2011, I think that was. Yeah, because they lost in 2012, and then he won his first ring in 2013. So that was 2011 was his first year on the Heat, because that's when he had 8 points against the Mavericks in a finals game, which is infamous. But yeah, LeBron started all of that. And then KD did it, and now it's like it's a common thing to hip hop and free agency and go wherever you want. And, you know, James Harden's requested trades from three different teams in the last three different years, and Kevin Durant's demanding a trade, and Kyrie Irving's demand. This aspect of it is where I understand the turnoff for a lot of people to the NBA, because it's frustrating for me, who's been an NBA fan my whole life, to indulge in. Like, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant and James Harden all bullied their way to Brooklyn. Kyrie whined and moaned about his contract in Boston, said he was going to extend with the Celtics, lied and dipped to go link up with KD in Brooklyn. And KD gave the Warriors reason to believe that he was going to sign back with them and then dipped for Brooklyn. And then what did James Harden do? He demanded a midseason trade to Brooklyn. And they all linked up and it didn't work out. And then James Harden turned around and demanded a midseason trade. And all three of them, they all forced their way to Brooklyn and then all three of them demanded a midseason trade out. Like, that shouldn't be happening. You shouldn't be able to just bully your way around the league to go play with your friends. Like, there needs to be some sort of rivalry. There needs to be some sort of spirit and hatred towards each other. That's what sports are about. You're competing to win or lose. And I get it. I get the tangent that they're all already winners because they're making millions of dollars to play a game. I really do get it. I would love to be making $40 million to play basketball. Trust me. I really would. But, like, if we're putting on a product for the whole world to watch us, can we make it a little bit better for the 82-game regular season? And we get a texter that comes in. I think being cordial after the game on off the court shows emotional maturity. I feel like that's a fair point. And maybe I'm emotionally immature. Maybe that's part of this. Like, I'm being serious. Ramona's laughing at me. And she doesn't have her mic on, but I'm being serious. Like, I don't know. It just didn't sit right with me the way. And I'm not condoning emotional immaturity, but, like, at the same time, I would like to see some more passion. Like, when Draymond goes and loses their first Western Conference series in the Steve Kerr era, 19-0 before the Lakers series. And his initial reaction, like, your season just ended. You put in hours on hours on hours of work, hours in dedication, hours in film room, so much, you know, rehab to your body, so much recovery. All of these things are all coming to an end. The end of a season in any sport is something that's very special, especially at the professional level. And your first gut reaction is, hey, let me go chop it up with LeBron and, like, laugh with him. I'm not saying you can't be cordial, but, like, Steph was cordial. The way he reacted from a body language perspective was a lot different than the way Draymond reacted. Draymond almost was relieved it was over, is what it seemed like. I mean, he had a smile on his face.
Like, he wanted to go home.
Like, they just won the title. I don't know. Just didn't sit right with me. Last segment of Road Rage with Facts and Childress coming up next.
Get a scratch-made Cajun filet biscuit from Bojangles today. Order ahead on our app. It's Bo time.
Shopping at Ingles is where it's at, right? If you're on the run or you don't have time to make a meal, a trip to your Ingles Deli is the best bet for fresh and prepared foods to go. They have everything you need for you and your team, whether at home or at the tailgate. How about a beautiful arrangement from the Ingles Floral Department to give a friend or a loved one a nice pick-me-up? Be sure to use that Ingles Advantage card because it saves you real money at the 24-hour Ingles Gas Express pumps. Did you know Ingles has a great choice of gluten-free products to choose from? Go to Ingles-Markets.com and you'll find a huge list of those gluten-free products. And remember Ingles, too, for your family's pharmacy needs, including vaccine and flu shots. American-owned with locations throughout the upstate. That's Ingles, where you'll always find low prices and you'll love the savings.
Are you a veteran needing help with your VA claim? Have you filed a claim, but it's been a long time since you've heard from the VA? Robert Surface, a certified VA attorney in Honeypath, South Carolina, can help. Call him at 864-235-0886 for an appointment, or go to his website at surfacelawfirm.com. Let's sit down together and talk about your VA claim and come up with a solution. Call 864-235-0886 today.
Listen up, men. This is the Greenville Men's Clinic. You've heard our ads on the radio, you've seen our commercials on TV, and you've seen us in the newspaper, so you know what we do. We are a men's health clinic, and our physicians specialize in treating erectile dysfunction, premature issues, and low T in men of all ages. That's what we do, all day, every day. So, during the times you were just listening to our ads, we were helping thousands of other men recover their sex life. While you were only listening to our commercials, these men took action and got the intimacy back in their relationship. Don't wait until it's too late. Do something about your issue today. You have nothing to lose but your ED. We have a $99 office visit right now. So, call us at 864-301-1111. That's 864-301-1111. 864-301-1111 or online at greenvillemensclinic.com. 864-301-1111.
Built to last and rock-solid resale value. Just two of the many reasons to own a Toyota. And the place to buy your Toyota? Ralph Hayes Toyota in Anderson. For over 70 years, Ralph Hayes Toyota has been delivering great value and service while setting themselves apart from the competition. And they're the oldest Toyota dealer in South Carolina. For new, used, or certified pre-owned Toyotas, find them at Ralph Hayes Toyota, Clemson Boulevard, Anderson. Put some extra room in your monthly budget. Right now, when you refinance your ride with Founders, you can beat your current auto rate by 1% and make no monthly payments for 90 days. That's a deal that will leave you feeling super confident that you can pay off your vehicle. Get moving. Visit foundersfcu.com/superrates to see how we can help get you moving. That's foundersfcu.com/superrates. Terms and conditions apply. Membership qualification required. Federally insured by NCUA.
I'm Eddie Bennett. As the upstate continues to grow, Bennett Equipment is here to help. With a 2-year, 2,000-hour warranty, Takeuchi Compact Equipment is the gold standard for performance, quality, and durability. Bennett has three convenient upstate locations in Piedmont, Spartanburg, and Seneca, and coming soon to Hiawassee, Georgia. Whether you're renting or buying, come see why Bennett and Takeuchi are the leaders. We're online at BennettEquipment.net. And remember, if it's equipment, buy it or rent it from Bennett.
Coach Dabo Sweeney here from the Clemson Tigers. Just like high schools across the upstate, Clemson fans love football. But one thing I love more than football is my family. That's why we talk to our three children about alcohol and other drugs. Alcohol is the leading cause of death among youth. But the truth is, most upstate youth aren't drinking or using drugs. Remind your teenagers that most teens choose to be healthy and drug-free. Talk to your teens about drugs and alcohol. They will listen. For more information, go to phoenixcenter.org.
Crank it up and embarrass your children. The Roar, where every day is game day.
Where it began, I can't begin to know. But then I know it's growing strong. Hand, touching hand. Reaching out, touching me, touching you.
Absolute classic in Sweet Caroline as we've got about 10 minutes left here on Road Rage. Facts and Childress filling in the big shoes of Walt Deptula for today. Doing my best. I've gotten a couple texts on our Adams & Co. Roofing text line to get in this last segment. We were just talking about, you know, competitiveness in sports, specifically the NBA. And we were talking about the Draymond Green fiasco, if you will, hugging LeBron immediately after the acting like, you know, Draymond just proposed to his wife and she said yes, and he came up and embraced LeBron as his best friend. That's what it seemed like to me. But Texter 371 pointed out something really good. He said, what about NHL? I've seen two players fight in a game seven but still accept the long traditional handshakes at the end. Great show. Enjoy. Thank you, Texter 371. And I think that's the balance, right? That's the I don't have an issue with being cordial off the court, off the ice, off the field, whatever. Cordial is fine. What Draymond did was overboard, in my opinion. And if that's if that makes me emotionally immature, then I'll just have to own that. I want to see.
Well, now if he shook his hand, you'd be all right.
Yeah, because that's what
there
Steph did.
That's like, what you're supposed to.
Yeah,
do.
Steph walked up, he dapped him up. Hey man, good series. You know, you give the little pat on the shoulders, you give a couple comments, and you move on. You don't have to smile. It was the smile, Ramona. It was the
smile too.
It was the smile, and it was a it was the smile immediate hug combo. There wasn't a dap up before the hug. It was just the hug. If they had the dap, like Steph went for the dap up, and then he like brought him in for the like the, you know, couple taps on the shoulder. Hey man, good work, good series. Got a lot of respect for you and your game. Keep it moving. We don't need to linger and talk about what we're doing in the off season and how Draymond wants to go to LA. We don't need to do that.
Yeah,
we don't need to do that. That rubbed me the wrong way. But with 10 minutes left in the program, there's a couple more texts on our Adams & Co. Roofing text line. And also, if anyone wants to get in on the phones at this point, we've had a couple good callers. 654-ROAR for both of those. A texter points out, how many ACC teams could be in the top eight? Wake, Miami, who else with six spots left? There are only six ACC teams in the top 25. Would the committee put three ACC teams in the top eight regionals? The answer to that is probably no. You're probably not going to see three ACC national hosts. But at the same time, I don't think that Miami is going to get a national host. The RPI right now, Clemson shot up it this last week. For some reference, I'm looking for Miami. Where's Miami? Hold on. I'm looking for Miami on the RPI list, and I don't see him. Maybe I'm missing something because I know they are near the... Okay, so they're all the way down 18th. Miami's 18th in the RPI. And, you know, you can give or take with RPI. I understand it. Clemson is up to number 8 for some reference. Virginia is up to number 9. And I told you all I got to broadcast 3 of their games this weekend. They're good. Miami's also really, really good. But they lost to Pitt this weekend. And that hurt them a lot because they dropped in the RPI as a result of that. They dropped a spot in the RPI as a result of that. I think Miami is a host, more than likely. I don't think Miami is a national host. And we get a texter in. Texter 706 gets in and says, Miami's played a tough schedule, but they lost all those teams. Wake Forest and UVA swept them. Yes, I agree. Miami isn't close to being a national host. Duke, Wake Forest, and Clemson, the only ACC national seeds, is another text. I agree with both of those texts. I think Miami might host a regional, but they're not going to be a team that is hosting in a national slot. They might be a little further down the line. And I know that the rankings came out today, and you know, you can take rankings for what you will. Miami was at number 11, and that would put them right outside of the national host range because you think top 8 are going to host. Clemson was number 7, and Coastal Carolina was actually number 8. South Carolina is all the way down to number 13, for some reference. And Texter 706 also points out something that I was literally about to say. I had the schedule pulled up. Duke plays Miami this weekend. That's huge, because right now you could make the case that Duke could get in the national host discussion. They did drop from 9 to 12 in the RPI, and they're now ranked 16th. Obviously, the committee is going to take all these factors into account and crunch the numbers in whatever way. No comment on the committee after what happened in softball. No comment on the committee. But all we can do is speculate at this point. Stanford's number 3 right now, and you know, especially with Stanford being on the West Coast. For reference, Stanford's 16 in the RPI, but number 3 in the country. They're probably getting a national host spot. And they're definitely getting a host spot because they need someone out west. They can't cramp all these teams in the southeast. They have to have some sort of diversity amongst where they put them in the country. Arkansas is getting a national host. There's no doubt in my mind there. Wake Forest is getting a national host. I think Stanford and Florida probably get national hosts as well. Florida up to 6 in the RPI romped Vanderbilt this weekend. I mean, just mashed them in multiple games. That Florida team is really, really, really good. But I think Clemson is in contention for a national host, and I think Virginia does as well. If Clemson gets swept this weekend, what would happen, says Texter 844. I think they would drop out of national host conversation, and then I think they would be a host if they won a couple games in the ACC tournament, but not a national host. They can't afford to get swept. If Clemson wins the series this weekend and wins a game in the ACC tournament, I think they're a national host. They've jumped in all the metrics. They've jumped in all the polls. They've jumped in the RPI. The heater that they're on right now has put them in good contention to be a national host. And Texter 082 gets in about the Miami and Duke series once again and says could be a big series. You could say that series could be to contend for a national host, but once again, you know, the regular season will conclude this weekend and we'll have a makeup of what we think is going to happen. Something weird will happen in one of these conference tournaments. Somebody's going to lose early. LSU's been slumping lately. They just lost a series to last place in the SEC, Mississippi State. One of these teams is going out early in the tournament. It's just, we see it every year, and I know that that's just a generic and obvious statement to make, and there's no way to predict who it's going to be. It could be Clemson going out early in the ACC tournament. I'm not saying that Clemson's above that. But one of these teams that we think is going to host a national seed is going to flame out of their conference tournament early. And at that point, it opens up a spot, and it's anyone's game. West Virginia is the best team in the Big 12, and they're currently number 6, which is just above Clemson. LSU has dropped to number 5. Mentioned Coastal at 8. To round out the top 10, I'll just give you guys the rankings from NCAA baseball. UConn coming in at 9, Oregon State at 10, Miami previously mentioned at 11. Vanderbilt's at 12. South Carolina's at 13. Campbell's at 14. East Carolina at 15. And Duke at 16. And the rest is, there's one more AC team. It's Virginia at 21. I'm telling you guys right now, that team's really underrated. Their lineup is really good, and their pitching is getting hot at the right time. Ramona, don't be surprised if Virginia wins the ACC tournament. I'm being dead serious. I was that moved by seeing their team up close, getting to talk to head coach Brian O'Connor.
Yeah.
They're really good, and they have a really good program. And their ballpark is beautiful, but they're really good. And Boston College is 22 as well, as the texter points out. And I think that's the conclusion of the ACC. Kentucky and Tennessee are at 19 and 18, and that's the SEC. Yeah, no more ACC teams after that. So Boston College at 22, Virginia at 21, Duke at 16, Miami at 11, Clemson at 7, and Wake Forest at 1 are the teams in the ACC that are ranked in the NCAA baseball poll. So the ACC is a really good baseball league, is what the texter says as well. And the ACC and the SEC dominate college baseball. It's going to be that way for a while. A lot of these teams, I don't want to say are building dynasties, but they're building programs that, like Virginia, for example. Virginia's going to be really good this year. They're going to win 40-plus games, and none of their players are seniors. None of they're starting 1 through 9. None of them are seniors. In fact, a lot of them are like sophomores that are going to be coming back. Like Clemson, this isn't even Clemson's peak in the Bakich era. Clemson's going to be a lot better next year than they were this year. I know that they're on a heater right now, but it's trending upwards for the future. And I would say that the same thing to an extent goes for Duke. I think Duke's going to be really good again next year, and so is Wake Forest. So the ACC's not going anywhere is part of the bottom line here. The ACC's not going anywhere. This league is going to be a war for the next 5 years between Virginia, between Duke, between Clemson, between Wake Forest, obviously, number one team in the country up in Winston-Salem. Like, all of these teams are going to be really, really good for the next 5 years, and it's going to be interesting. I'm really excited for the ACC tournament. I'm really excited for the ACC tournament because I'm excited to see how Clemson fares against some of these upper echelon teams. And I feel like it's going to be interesting because there's a lot of teams that could win the ACC tournament. I don't think a lot of people are just handing Wake Forest the ACC tournament. I think that's stupid. Wake Forest just lost to Florida State, the worst team in the conference, yesterday. Wake Forest is not a lock to win the ACC tournament. I don't care what ranking you put beside them. That team's beatable. Clemson should have beat them twice. Clemson had 2 wins against Wake Forest that they threw away. They should have beat them twice. So when you get on that neutral site, man, and you get in a tournament perspective and aspect where anything can happen, I'm telling you right now, you know what, Ramona, I'll go out on a bold prediction. Wake Forest isn't winning the ACC tournament. Give me the field. Give me the field. I think somebody else is going to win it. I don't think Wake Forest is going to win the ACC tournament. Does that mean I don't think they're good? No, not at all. But at the same time, I don't think they're going to win the ACC tournament. I think everybody is just crowning Wake Forest the ACC tournament. Guess what? When's the last time Wake Forest won the ACC tournament? When has it happened? I'm checking out. Wake Forest hasn't won the ACC tournament since 2001. They haven't won the ACC tournament in 21 years. 22 years.
Oh, well, there you go. That's a long time.
Yeah. Clemson won it in 2016, obviously. Everybody knows about that. And then won it in 2006. But it's just like North Carolina won it last year. North Carolina's won it 2 of the last 3 years. Duke won it in 2021. Everybody seems to be crowning Wake Forest the ACC tournament. I'm not saying that they're not that good. They have everything. They could win the national championship. But for everybody, I see a lot of the national pundits, too. They're just like, oh, well, we know Wake's going to win the ACC. And I'm like, what? Did we forget how weird of a sport baseball can be? And did we forget how hot teams are coming in? I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm being short-sighted here, and maybe Wake really is that legit and that much better than everyone else. But if it's between Wake and the field, which is what a lot of people are making it, it's like, oh, well, Wake's the runaway number one in the ACC, and nobody else has got a chance. Duke's really good. Miami's really good. Virginia's really good. And Clemson's really good. I'm just saying. If you had to, gun to head, if you had to talk to me, I would say take the field. But it's been a fun show. Thanks for everybody that got in on our call and text lines. Thank you, Ramona, for producing it. Did my best to fill into Walt's shoes here. He'll be back tomorrow. Thanks for tuning in.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
Kool-Aid? Mine personally, red. It's not cherry, it's not fruit punch, it's red. And sorry, I don't know where people finally came up with this notion of, oh, Powerade has flavors or Gatorade has flavors. They have colors. You pick your color and you stick with it for the rest of your life.